All right, good morning and welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It's December the 9th, 2022. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. It is Friday. Beautiful day. No clouds. Really pretty amazing out. Got up this morning, went for a run with the doctor. The doctor is a little under the weather, so we've been doing some run and walking. We actually got together the other day and just walked. He hurt his Achilles tendon, and so he is nursing it a little bit. But today we did some interval running and some push-ups, and it was good. Good to get out. excuse me. It is. I tell you what, man. Everybody around me is sick. I am not. But I am a little stuffed up this morning, so forgive me. But what's going on? How's everybody doing? It is Friday, which is great. The end of the week. It's been a very busy week. You know, same thing I was saying before, just as I predicted. You know, everybody wanting to try to get in for an appointment and an already booked up schedule, which is a good problem, you know. I only talk about it because it's really one of the major problems in my life, and I don't have many, luckily. But this is one, and it will test me. And I had a lady come in the other day, and she was like, "Can I talk you into working on your day off?" You work on your day off? And I was like, are you kidding me? Do you know who I am? I mean, that's probably what I thought in my brain. Do you know who I am? One of the things that happened to me when I first got sober is all of a sudden I started to feel like I was all of a sudden special. Like, look at me. Like, do you see what I'm doing here? Do you see the work I'm doing? I am sober. And I've said it before, don't confuse normal with exceptional. And normally we don't drink like we do. And so when I first came in, I was like, gosh, I'm doing so great. But the reality was I was doing exactly what I was supposed to be doing in the first place, which was, you know, not drinking and living a normal life, so to speak. So, yeah. And the fact is I will be working on my day off next week because the reality is I'm super grateful that I even have a clientele, right? Clientele support throughout the year. That's the whole point of having a clientele, for me at least, is that, you know, I have work throughout the year. And then this time of the year, I have to remind myself that without these people, I have nothing. I mean, I'm, you know, I got to show up, so I play part of it. But, you know, I'm very grateful that I even have a clientele, especially in sort of the things that we're going through today in our economy. I have to be grateful. So I will be working on my day off, and I'll be fine. It'll be great. But I have to just keep reminding myself, hey, calm down. You're just a normal guy doing normal things. But, you know, that's what I'm dealing with these days. And those are my biggest problems, is trying to manage my business. And But, you know, I thought what I would talk about a little bit today was this, you know, I went to a meeting the other day. Excuse me. I'm going to be doing that a few times, unfortunately, because it's just that time of the year. But yeah, I went to a meeting the other day and listened to a guy share, and he, you know, he did a great job, and he talked about, you know, one of the things he struggled with early on was just this ability to be honest with myself or with himself. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. You know, can I be honest with myself, or could I be at the time? And, you know, I don't think I could. I wasn't. I know I showed up and I participated, but I wasn't sure if I was being really honest. And one of the things that he said, which kind of, and this seems to happen to me now a lot, is that somebody will say something that I've heard 1,000 times, and then all of a sudden it just opens up this new door for me. And I'm like, wow, you know, like this relationship with a higher power. I've been hearing that term and been talking about that for many, many years. And now I'm just starting to have this fourth dimension, right? I'm being rocketed into the fourth dimension. And it's really cool. But one of the things that a guy said the other night was he had trouble being honest that he was an alcoholic. And I was like, wow, that's weird, because obviously I didn't have that problem, because I am obviously an alcoholic. And I think the revelation that I had was is that I've always just considered myself a heavy drinker. And to me, or prior to really getting sober or having any of this sort of experience in my life, I just thought heavy drinker meant I was an alcoholic. And so heavy drinker, alcoholic, easy. I'm an alcoholic, no big deal. But what I've learned, and as much as I fight this, because I find it a little, it's not frustrating, but I guess for a person that's just getting sober, it's just one of those things that if I allow myself to, I can, you know, hyper-focus on it and pick it apart and start to get into it, and really it's not necessary. But the reality is that when I finally can become honest and say that I'm an alcoholic, that means that not only do I drink too much, but I have a lot of isms. And like this guy said, that when you remove the alcohol from the alcoholic, all you're left with are the icks. And I thought that was pretty funny. But I never put that all together. I just assumed that I drank too much. So I can remember maybe once or twice saying to myself or to somebody during my, you know, active addiction that, yeah, I'm an alcoholic. But I think it's just because I thought I drank too much. And it's the isms, you know, the inside the head stuff, the self-centeredness, the lack of humility. You know, like I've said before, I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility that drinks too much. Now that I can kind of wrap my head around, because those are a few different issues that I work on. So just listening to this person the other night, and then I sat there and thought about it, and you know, I don't know if I definitely identify as an alcoholic and all that goes with it, but I don't think that I was honest about that, or maybe I just didn't quite understand early on in my recovery that alcoholism is more than just drinking a lot. So until I was able to do that, then I finally became aware of how and why these steps work for me, at least in my life. You know, one day at a time, right? Like I ran with Jimmy this morning, and I said, and Jimmy told me this, all we're given is one day. And so today we started off with a run and a chat and a conversation and had some coffee. And, you know, I will take on this day like a brand new day, knowing that I cannot drink alcohol. And I also can't get up in my head and become a victim of shit, which I love to do, right? And that's sort of what was happening to me yesterday. I was feeling victim-y. I was speaking that victimese. That's funny. That victimese language. And I was feeling like I was... nobody cared. And the reality is that I make that choice, right? I choose who I am today. I choose how I feel. And if I'm going to choose to be a victim, you know, wallow around in that shit, that's probably, you know, a choice that I made in my own mind. And what happens when that sort of thing does happen is that I tend to say things to people that I wouldn't usually say. I become arrogant. Like my buddy Matt used to say, we run by a different set of rules. And when I'm in that arrogant mode, I will say things to people that later on that night I'll probably sit on the couch and feel really a lot of shame and guilt about. And that's what started happening yesterday. You know, I had a lady come in who always, she's a super great client, just awesome lady, but, you know, has some requirements, you know, and the alcohol, the self-centered side of me always finds that to be annoying, right? Like, why are you so special? And that's just me being arrogant. That's just me being inconvenienced and communicating and talking in a way that's not very serene. It's very self. And, you know, in the end, my business is fine. But, you know, do I need to make apologies at the end of the day? Probably. And I hate that. Right, especially when I've been doing this for this long and I know better. You know, I know what I need to do to present myself to other people in a way that I get along with everybody. And the way that I was getting yesterday, it wasn't good. And luckily, I caught myself. I said, just sit down for a second and let me finish this client and then I will figure out a time. And I did, and it worked out. I didn't have to make any amends. Because she said, do you think I'm badgering you? And I go, badgering? I don't know if badgering would be the word I would use, right? But I said it in a way like, badgering's not the word, but there is another word. I just don't know it. And I don't need to be like that, right? I should be grateful that people even want me to do their hair, right? I should be grateful that people even want to come to my business or to the business, because I'm not just the only one working there. I get other people that work there as well. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's just the end of the week and just trying to reflect and seeing where I can do things better. And if I was going to try to figure out a list of things I could do to prevent that, which I've been working on, right? I've been working on it. I've tried to manage my time. I'm trying to reschedule people. I'm trying to get to a place where this doesn't happen. But I also have to remind myself that regardless of how much preparation I do, it's going to happen. It's just the way the world goes. And maybe I wasn't doing enough exercise. I don't recall praying yesterday. I don't recall doing or using some of the tools that I've been taught to do on a daily basis that I think gives me a little bit of a foundation of humility. I know running is a good start for me, and I'll have a great day today. Went for, like I said, a nice run this morning. Got to chat with the doctor and get out some thoughts, and, you know, it was awesome. And so today I hope that is a better day. But yeah, so that was the thing I wrote down. In fact, I wrote it down in my notes the other day, which was, it said the difference between drinking a lot and being an alcoholic, accepting I was an alcoholic. And I don't really remember when it happened, but at some point I made a decision that this is more than a drinking problem. And I don't remember when I made that. I don't know if I've ever, actually, I must have at some point made some decision. I don't actually remember doing an actual decision. I just, maybe the evolution of getting sober, just sort of, I think, to be honest, I think if you come into a program and you work the steps and you work with a sponsor, you know, I don't know if I posted this on a podcast the other day, but I was thinking about it, you know, just because it's, you know, people talk about they only had to get sober one time. That's great. Doesn't happen for everybody like that. I know, like, even me picking up a drink after a certain amount of years, but I learned a lot through that experience. And then, you know, struggling a bit more and then getting sober again, and I would reflect and I would learn a little bit more. And I think in those unfortunate incidents, I did start learning that this is more about the drinking. Because to be honest, you know, drinking was what I finished my career in, But, you know, I was big into drugs. I shared before, you know, my whole journey started off with marijuana and then became big into speed. Loved doing the speed. I mean, I was doing speed, drinking, and marijuana back in those days. But, you know, I loved all of it. And then the speed would run out, and that's when I moved to Delaware, and then I would really, you know, just turn to the one thing that I could get that was legal, which was alcohol, and then became a freaking raging alcoholic. But it was, you know, whether it was the pot, the speed, or the alcohol, it was all that self-centered living. And I think working in this program and working with different people, I started to recognize that this is more than just me drinking. And I think the other thing was is that I always had that question, well, if I stop drinking, then what's my problem? Why am I still doing this? And someone was like, listen, things will start to show up. You know, talking to the doctor this morning, I'm like, you know, a buddy of ours, I'm like, you know, he came in wrecked. You know, he probably wanted to go to 50 meetings in one day if he could. He wanted to rewrite the big book. He wanted to, you know, all these different things that you can do to try to make that pain go away, and it just doesn't go away that fast. And I was telling my buddy this morning, I go, his problem is he just wants the pain to go away too fast, and really the answer that he's looking for is basically just go to a meeting every day and just grind through it, right? Suffer through it. You can't find all the answers overnight. The shame and guilt is so bad, but you can't make it go away. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of recovery in shame and guilt, right? You know, I have kids. I have three kids. And my 17 and my 11-year-old, my sons, they both share a bathroom. And if you have kids, you know, they don't keep it clean, or at least my youngest doesn't keep it clean, at least to hit my oldest son's standards. So he's like, you know, he comes in, he goes, Sam, you know, he didn't flush the toilet. He took a shower and didn't flush the toilet. And he's always doing that. And I'm like, well, you know, I could tell him, you know, Sam, flush the toilet when you get done after, you know, using the bathroom. But he keeps doing it. But Sam looks up to his older brother. And so I tell him, you know, you tell him. You know, there's nothing like when a peer, because I'm not one of my kids' peers, right? I'm their parent. But when a peer or a person of your sort of caliber tells you, you know, hey, flush the freaking toilet, it sometimes has a little more effect than when a parent does. You know, these brain wrinkle moments, you know, and I've shared before, I've had them in this program, you know, my buddy Scott. Went to a meeting with my buddy Scott, and I said, I'll wait for you in the car. I must have drove. And he sat in that meeting, or this was after the meeting. And two things weird, you know, why didn't I hang out and chat with people in the meeting? This was early on. And the other thing is that he sat in there and chatted for a while. And then when he got in the car, I said, you know, somebody's a chatty Cathy. And he said, you know, man, that hurts my feelings. And I just remember my heart dropped out of my chest. I felt like a total tool bag, and I remembered, you know, sometimes I don't need to say what I'm thinking, you know. Sometimes I can hurt people's feelings. And really up until that point, and I obviously know we have feelings, but I never cared about them. I never cared about other people's feelings. So when he told me that, I was like, oh, shit. Never try to do that again, right? I remember, you know, my buddy Matt having a party, and I was working that night. And I say, well, can't we do the party on Friday? And he's like, you know, you want me to move a 100 people party to a different day because you have to work? And I was like, no, that's not what I meant. It's exactly what I meant. One of the brain wrinkles where I'm like, oh, shit. You know, like I'm not the only person. I'm not the most important person on the planet. And up until that point, I almost thought I was. So starting to understand, oh, maybe I think I'm the most important person on the planet problem. You know, maybe I have I'll say things to people and hurt their feelings and not recognize it problem. Maybe I have a fork in the road, and I have what I should do on one hand and what I want to do on the other, and I always do what I want to do problem. None of these had to do anything with drinking. So maybe that's how I started to understand that this is more than just a I drink too much vodka problem. And then when I started to recognize that, I'm like, geez, I do this a lot, right? I remember, you know, talking about the eighth step the other day and making amends to my parents. And I was telling my buddy Matt, I never really stole from my parents. And I shared about this the other day, but these were one of these awakening moments for me. But I was like, I never stole from my parents. So, you know, I made some amends, you know, for my early behavior. But after that, I thought I was pretty clean. And my buddy Matt's like, you stole their fucking peace of mind. I was like, shit, I never thought about that. Right? I am so black and white that I'm either ripping them off or lying and making those amends. But then as far as the rest of them, I never even considered. But peace of mind, that's fear. You know, what wrecks peace of mind? Fear. And what were they in fear of? That I was going to be dead. And I shared the other day, I go, you know, my son, he doesn't do drugs or drink, not that I know of. And, you know, when he's not home, I worry. I worry about him. And he's not even using. So I can't imagine what my parents used to fear. So another one of those things that I'm like, wow, this is more than just me drinking too much vodka. This is deep. And, you know, I think that's, so I guess the real answer is there isn't a moment. I think it's just over time, working a program, continuing to work, talking with the sponsor, having friends that are in the program. Sometimes we work our material out on our friends in the program, and they're the ones that are like, hey, you know, you might want to not do that. You know, there's a guy in a meeting that's, I mean, he's sort of new, and he's very, 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 very new, right? His thinking is very new, and he likes to use the word fag. And he said it in a meeting the other day. He said something, but, you know, he used the word fag, and I felt like saying, dude, you shouldn't say that, right? I mean, it's not cool. But I didn't say anything. And I don't know if I should. I feel like I should pull him aside and say, hey, maybe you should try a different word, but isn't any of my business, right? Is that what I would want? Would I want someone to come up and say, hey, man, you probably shouldn't use the word fag. It hurts people's feelings. It's not really necessary. I think you could probably find a different word. Yeah, it's weird. But it's a real reminder that, listen, there's a lot of... That's why it's important that once we get sober that we continue to go to meetings for the newcomer, right? My buddy James, he got really into doing Zoom meetings, and I was talking to him this morning. I said, do you have a home group? Because I do not have a home group. And my anniversary's coming up. I want to get a coin. And I was saying to him, I go, do you have a home group? And he's like, I don't. He goes, well, actually, my Zoom meeting's my home group. And I was like, huh, okay. But in the back of my head, I'm thinking, well, that's not a great home group, right? You should be there and be in person, but none of my business, right? That's his thing. But he did say that he needs to try to start getting back to meetings in person. And, you know, my buddy James was a little afraid of COVID, so he felt it was safer for him to do Zoom meetings at the time. And you know, we have to respect that. But, you know, meetings are open again. And I told him, I said, that's, you know, we need to be there for the newcomer. You know, my buddy James has 30-something years. There's a lot of wisdom in there. And, yeah. Let's see, maybe I could do a little reading. I'm sorry I'm so stuffed up. I feel good. I don't know what my issue is. How's everybody else doing? Is everybody good? All right, Daily Reflections, December 9th. Love with no price tag. When the 12th step is seen in its full implication, it is really talking about the kind of love that has no price tag on it. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 106. In order for me to start working the 12th step, I had to work on serenity and honesty and to learn to act with humility. Yeah. Carrying the message is a gift of myself, no matter how many years of sobriety I may have accumulated. My dreams can become reality. I solidify my sobriety by sharing what I have received freely. As I look back to that time when I began my recovery, there was already a seed of hope that I could help another drunk pull himself out of his alcoholic mire. My wish to help another drunk is the key to my spiritual health. But I never forget that God acts through me. I am only his instrument. Even if the person is not ready, there is success because my effort in his behalf has helped me to remain sober and to become stronger. To act, to never grow weary in my 12-step work, is the key. If I am capable of laughing today, let me not forget those days when I cried. God reminds me that I can feel compassion. Yeah, it's, you know, being a sponsor, being there for the newcomer is a big inconvenience. It is a challenge. It tests us. It makes us question ourselves. And I think it's all, I know when I'm involved in that, I think it's all very good. I remember sponsoring a guy, and I was very militant almost, right? I shared before when I first got sober, a friend of mine, Scott, was going to sponsor me, and he was like, you need to have this color notebook, and you need to have this color pen, and this is what I want you to do. And I remember I showed up, and I didn't have the right color notebook, and I didn't have the right color pen. He goes, how bad do you want to get sober if you're not even willing to follow these simple directions? And I was like, dude, chill out, right? Chill out, bro. But he was right. Right. And so I was like, you know, I think I'd rather just be friends. But when it came time for me to be a sponsor of somebody, I remember having that same sort of passion that Scott did. You know, listen, if you want to get sober, you're going to have this kind of notebook, and you're going to have this kind of pen. And I don't think the person did. And I was the same way. And I felt justified in my position. And I mean, maybe there is some truth to that. But I think I have to remember that sometimes people that are coming in that are new, just, you know, it doesn't have to be so hardcore, right? I mean, it should be, right? Because if this is what they really want, if you really want to get sober, you'll go to any length. Maybe we are getting a little softer, but regardless, I was a little more militant, and that relationship didn't last. And I think he actually went back out and drank. I have run into him. Not that long ago. He seemed fine. But, you know, I just have to, sometimes I just need to chill out, right? Just need to be like, hey, this is about love. I do talk to a lady that's new, and I just say, just hang in there, man. Just go to meetings and hang in there. I don't care about notebooks. I'm not her sponsor. I'm like, just hang out. Right. And that's sort of in the end what I think has worked up until this point is I just hung out a lot. Right. I just came to a lot of meetings. I was basically a blank piece of paper because everything up until that point was really the wrong way to live. And what I was looking for, and people like to say, you know, get into the steps, you know, work a program right away. I guess if that's what you want to do, do that. If you got nowhere else to go, for me, I just went to a lot of meetings and I just listened and I watched how, you know, people acted and, you know, like I said, the hugging and handshaking and the camaraderie and the teamwork. And, you know, I just watched it all new to me. The life that I lived was a one-man operation, me, myself, and I. And so this was all new to me. So for me, it was just getting an example of what normal people, how normal people should at least act, I thought. And, you know, it turns out people in AA, they're all crazy too, so we're not normal. But it was definitely better than the way that I was acting before. And that's all I really wanted in the end is just freaking be a better person. And then as I hung in there and learned more, I would learn, you know, I would learn what this is really about. It's a, and becoming finally honest that I am an alcoholic, which means that I drink too much and that I struggle with all the things that lead up to finding serenity. You know, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Four big things, right? God, must mean I have some sort of relationship with him, right? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. That is a huge thing. You know, early on, trying to change things that are none of my business, change things that I can't change. The courage to change the things I can. And honestly, to me, that means the courage to try to change myself, right? To be honest, to be humble, to look, to take it that hard look at ourselves, to listen to what people say. And the wisdom to know the difference. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. I think it's the end game, to be honest. But anyway, thanks for letting me share, and we'll catch you later. Bye.